Welcome to Keeping 100 Radio. I'm your host, Lissy Pointer, type 1 diabetic, certified health coach, personal trainer, and founder of Needles and Spoons Health and Wellness. Inside this podcast, you'll find the real and raw conversations around diabetes management, including the lessons that we don't learn in our endo's office, my best tips and trainings, and conversations from the experts that I trust inside the community so that you can create more predictability in your diabetes management and feel empowered while doing so. Let's dive in. Welcome back to another episode of Keep You 100 Radio. It's been a while since I've gotten to just sit down and record a solo episode with you guys, so I figure what better occasion is there than my 10-year diversary coming up. If you are new here, welcome to the show. I'm so excited that you found this. And if you're new here, then you might not know my journey with type 1 diabetes. So I'm going to give you the SparkNotes version because I've done a few episodes now going through my whole diagnosis journey. So you can definitely take a trip down memory lane and check those out. But I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when I was 19 years old. So I was a freshman in college, which at the time, I feel like that felt so old to be diagnosed with juvenile diabetes. As we know now, juvenile diabetes can, it's not so juvenile. I think the statistic is about 30% of diagnoses are people older than, I want to say it's somewhere in their 20s. So that's a lot. We're getting to that point where we should probably change the name of the diagnosis, but I digress. I was 19 when I was diagnosed, a freshman at Penn State. So I had come down with the flu, and just a few weeks later, I had gotten the official diagnosis after experiencing all the classic symptoms. And yeah, it's been almost 10 years. That mile marker, I mean, that means a lot. It means one, I'm officially, I feel old. I'll be 30 this year. So that's another big milestone. I feel like this year is just the year of milestones. And this is just technically the second one that is crossed off the list. Technically, the first milestone of the year was yesterday on February 14th, Valentine's Day. That marked 6 years living with Crohn's disease. So I guess you can say that this year, or this week of the month every year, is just a really reflective one. And I guess I should play the lottery on those numbers of 214, 217, whatever it is. The second month of the year is just a lucky one for me. But I really want to make this episode a really reflective one. I want it to be one that isn't just simply 10 things I learned in the past 10 years. I really want this to be something that, if you're diagnosed maybe recently, or even, I just feel like we can all learn from each other's experiences, and there's so much value from learning from other people. So I wanted to walk you through the 10 things that I wish I knew sooner living with type 1 diabetes, 10 things that I wish it didn't take me 10 years to figure out. And again, maybe you can take from this, maybe you can relate to these, maybe it's something that you've realized, but it hasn't, like, you couldn't put words to it. I hope that this is that kind of episode, and I can just kind of walk you through those things, because this was really reflective for me. It was just really cool to look back at the past decade and see, wow, I have come so far, not even in just my management, not even in the A1C or the time in range, or just, but just more of like, how much I understand my body and how much I've just grown with this diagnosis. I do feel like diabetes is just like, it's almost like you're building this relationship with this other side of you. And it's almost like this annoying third wheel that's always with you, but you can either resent that or you can grow with it. And I feel like the past 10 years in my young adulthood, it's just been this constant evolving relationship with this other part of me that has then allowed me to open up to these other parts of me. And it's just really expanded my overall understanding of my body and understanding of myself. So going through this list, it was really cool for me. So we're just gonna dive right into it and start with number one. So this is one that I really wish I knew sooner, because I feel like in the beginning of my diabetes journey, I was very much just living moment to moment with the constant blood sugar management. I was checking my blood sugar in the morning, maybe a few times in the afternoon and before bed, and kind of calling it a day. I wasn't interested in learning about my patterns. I didn't even really know that you could have patterns with diabetes. I really just left it to that diabetes felt random. And this kind of constant, or this evolving curiosity and wanting to deepening my understanding, that understanding of my body, has led me to really wish I knew that, yes, your endocrinologist looks at your data, but you're the one living it. So that really, it's made me come down to really believe that
you as a person need to understand what your blood sugars are saying and what those reports are saying. Going back, I didn't get on a continuous glucose monitor until I want to say 4 or 5 years into my diagnosis. I just wasn't interested in having an insulin pump and a CGM. I didn't want that extra thing on my body. Again, I was very okay just checking my blood sugars a few times a day and letting that be that. But once I got on the Dexcom, I really appreciated the data that it gave me. And maybe at first that was like, okay, I didn't have to check my blood sugars. I had these constant readings every 5 minutes. But now it's more so of what are the patterns that I can see? What are the blood sugars saying throughout the day? Not just what decisions are they allowing me to make based off of that one single data point. But I've really learned to look at the blood sugar reports on the Dexcom Clarity further than just looking at that one summary page where you're looking at your Dexcom Clarity and you're saying, okay, my timing range is this, my average blood sugar is this, standard deviation, I don't even know what the heck that means, but really looking deeper into the other reports. And my particular favorite one is the hourly statistics report and saying what part of my day requires my focus and why. What's happening at this part of the day? What's happening an hour before that? Because your decisions an hour before the trend or the blood sugar is usually what's attributing to the blood sugar trend. What part of my day actually requires that focus? And how can I move forward with one single action that will allow me to improve on the data and all around feel better? Is it my habits? Is it my baselines? What is that telling me? And the thing about doing this is that it's really allowed me to feel so much more ownership over not only the data, but also my endocrinologist appointment. I can walk into my endocrinologist appointment and say, I know that the data is saying X, Y, Z, and this is where I need your support. And that has just been such a game changer in not only... I used to resent those appointments so much because it felt like I was being lectured. It felt like I never knew what the data was going to say. It just felt like this report card. I never knew what my A1C was going to end up being. And it kind of created this tension between me and my endocrinologist because I didn't want to be there and they knew that I didn't want to be there. And now it gets to be more of this collaborative experience and more than that, but I get to make decisions between my appointments that allow me to take ownership over my management in those 90 days or more in between. And that's just been really the coolest thing. I feel even on the bad days or the days where I just don't want a diabetes, I feel like I understand my body. I feel like I know what it's going through. Things don't feel so random anymore. Yes, of course, there's like that 10% that might still feel random. But usually the other things, I'm like, okay, I know why this is happening. I know what the trends are saying. And yeah, I'm just a firm believer that you do not need to be an endocrinologist to understand your blood sugar reports. Your endo can only understand them so much. You are living the data. You are living those constant blood sugar readings. So you are really the person that needs to understand them. So that's lesson number one. I truly wish I knew that sooner. I think I would have let go a lot of frustration by knowing that sooner. And it would have helped me really, It would have helped me accelerate in the growth I wanted to see with my diabetes management and see more of the numbers I wanted to see and see the A1Cs that I wanted to see. So that is number one. Number two, your management preferences can and will change. I don't know what the best way to compare this to, but I'm like in the moment, I'm thinking of how your taste and relationships can change. The person that you want to be a partner with before might be very different than it is now. My choice in men at age of 19 is very different than age 29. And I think that's a beautiful thing. It just shows that like how you evolve. And again, the relationship that you want to have with your body. Maybe that's a really poor example. We're just going to go with it. But this is actually something that I'm experiencing now, not with my choice in men, but more so my choice in management preferences. When I was diagnosed, I just really quickly wanted to go on an insulin pump because it was just one, my endocrinologist really recommended it. But then also the first 6 months of living with diabetes, I noticed that I didn't want to take an injection, so I would just simply avoid eating. And at 19 years old, you're still really young, but I knew enough to know that was not the relationship with food that I wanted to have. So I really quickly went on an insulin pump, and I was really big into Tumblr on those days. All the people that I was seeing with insulin pumps were using the Omnipod. And I really liked that because it didn't have a tube. It seemed to allow more flexibility. It seemed like I could keep it discreet. Again, I was in college. I didn't want people to see my insulin pump. So that was the choice that I made. And I do not regret that decision at all. I've been on the Omnipod now for 10 years, or I guess 9.5 years, because I went on it 6 months in, whatever. And it served me really well. I was on the Omnipod Eros for the entire time, and I loved the Eros. It was like the old, I don't know, if you've just been on the Omnipod 5 or the Dash, then you might not know, but the Eros is like this little, oh, I actually have it right here. It's a little PDM. It looks like a little, a brick. That's, I always called it my brick. And it worked so well. It was discreet. Again, it just worked for my management style. I didn't want to be on automated mode. I didn't want any of those new features. I just wanted to, yeah, I just wanted to, it had everything I needed. And then, as you may know, last year, December 31st of 2023, Omnipod discontinued the Eros. I understand why they did. They had the Dash, which is essentially the Eros with just an updated PDM. And then they came out with the Omnipod 5, which I guess had more of the automated features that everybody really wanted. So I went on the Omnipod 5. I figured I'll be ahead of the game for when it integrates with the Dexcom G7, and I'll just stay on automated mode until then. And I've just, you know, I've been on the Omnipod 5 now. Let's see, I got on it, I don't even know, I want to say it's been around 6 months. And it's just, I've been learning that it doesn't meet my preferences anymore. I've been having some trouble with the new PDM. I don't really like how big the new PDM is. And I just learned that my preferences have changed, and that's okay. So now I'm going to be transitioning over to the Tandem Mobi, which, if you know the Tandem Mobi, it's a tubed pump. And never in my years did I think I would go on a tubed pump. I also never in my years thought I would go on an automated pump or wanted to use the automated features. But now I am seeing the benefit in it. I've built my habits up to be exactly where I want them to be, where I think that an automated pump can serve me more so of like when at night when I'm sleeping and all those things. And especially, again, I'm 29 years old. I'm going to be 30 this year. I got married about 8 months ago, and we do want to start our family at some point. So that piece of technology is something that I think can really benefit me. And I've just heard such great things about the Control-IQ algorithm versus the Omnipod 5. So that is the direction that I will be going. And it just really made me reflect and say that just because I made a decision before, I made a decision 9.5 years ago to be on the Omnipod, that doesn't mean that has to be the decision that serves me now. And just because I want to change my decision doesn't mean it wasn't something that was really great for so many years. So yeah, all to say that like your preferences can change, whether you're on a pump now and you want to go back to manual daily injections, or you're on MDI and you thought you'd be an MDI girly forever and you want to go onto a pump, whatever it is, there's just no right or wrong way. I've gotten so many messages being like, why are you on the Omnipod 5 and the Dexcom G7 if they don't integrate? Don't you know that they don't integrate? Yes, and that's because those two pieces of technology were based on my preferences. I didn't need an automated pump, and just because something's against the status quo doesn't make it necessarily wrong. Yeah, just your friendly reminder that everything can change, and that is okay. And I understand the privilege that this note does have, because it is not easy to get an insulin pump in the US. It's not easy to transition to a different insulin pump. I'm very lucky with my husband's insurance that it will cover the Tandem. Yeah, just wanted to add that note there. All right, number three, what I wish I knew sooner. This one, don't hate me for this one, but it really, truly, everyone needs to hear it, I think. Your habits are truly all that you have. When it comes to diabetes, your habits are the backbone of your management. And that's not to say that you need to eat perfectly healthy, you have to have a perfect exercise regimen. That is not what I'm talking about. When we're talking about our habits, we're talking about what are the things that I pull into my daily decision making? What are those habits that I pull into my day that feel good and natural and don't have to feel forced or really in that all or nothing state? And I truly believe that when you feel confident in your habits and they are things that support your blood sugars and support your body as a whole, that those are going to be the things that carry you through. So for an example, I mentioned before that we would like to start our family at some point. I don't know when that will be, but I know that the habits that I have built over the past few years, those are going to be the things that are carrying me through that experience when I do need to have tighter control or when I do need to manage my blood sugars a little bit more closely. It's not going to be something where we say we want to start our family and I feel like I have to jump to the zero to 100. I'm not feeling like I have to go and change my management all at once. I already am going to have those habits built in and those are going to be what serve me in that new phase of life. Realistically, your habits should support you in any phase of life that you are going in, whether you're traveling, whether you are in college or you're studying for something or changing careers or starting your family, whatever that looks like, those are the things that should be the backbone. It shouldn't be like, we're just going to leave it at that. I always say like an automated insulin pump, the automated insulin pumps are great. They're great technology. I'm not on one yet, but I'm going to be going on one. But an automated pump cannot fix reactive behaviors. So if you're in the phase of your management where you're feeling really reactive or you're just doing things because your blood sugars are saying that you should, like your blood sugars are high, so you're avoiding carbs, your blood sugars are high, so that means you're moving your body and you're just chasing the arrow. An automated pump can't fix that. It's going to add more reactivity in your management. So the habits are going to be what we can have ownership of and what we can have control of and what will help you shift into more of that proactive state. All right, number four. Oh, this one might be a little controversial, but I do think it's really important for everybody to hear because this took me a really long time to learn. And I think I'm in a phase now where I feel so good in my management, but restrictive habits do not all look the same. So I feel like when we think about type 1 diabetes and we think of restriction, our minds easily jump to restriction means that you're avoiding carbs. It means that you're not eating the foods that you love. It means that you're not paying attention to your hunger cues. But restrictive habits look very different to everybody. So restrictive can look like not eating foods because your blood sugar is high. It can mean that you're not eating a meal because your blood sugar is in range and you don't want to ruin the line. I know we've all had that moment. It can mean that you're forcing your body to do things that you don't want to do because your blood sugars are looking a certain way or trending a certain way. I think to a certain extent, we all have a distorted relationship with food because of diabetes, because we're naturally ignoring hunger cues and looking at our blood sugar. We're eating when we don't want to because of the low blood sugars. And naturally, your hunger cues change depending on fluctuations in your blood sugars. So I do think that to a certain extent, if you're living with diabetes, there is a level of distorted relationship with food. And I was having this conversation with one of our clients the other day, and it was one of those things where she's like, yeah, I didn't even realize that. Like, me putting off lunch into later in my day because I don't want to ruin my blood sugar line or I don't want to have a high blood sugar because my blood sugar is in range, that is restrictive. Me waiting to eat for the perfect, when my blood sugar is at the perfect point, that's restrictive. So a little bit of, maybe this one is a little bit more reflective of what that looks like for you, but it's taken a lot for me over the years to learn that and to learn that some of the habits that I thought were supporting my blood sugars were actually more restrictive to my preferences and my body. So that's number four. Number five, this one's a little bit more on the lighter side. And I love this one. And again, I might get some heat for this one, but any food is blood sugar friendly if you understand your body enough and if you understand the blood sugar strategy enough. So I am the type of person where if a food doesn't work for my blood sugars, I would rather eat it 20 times to learn how to make it work than to completely avoid it completely. We always say in Keep 100, you don't learn how to bolus for the cupcake by avoiding the cupcake. You have to eat it to learn how to bolus for it to then enjoy it. And this all comes down to, one, understanding your body, how food is digesting in your body, how different macronutrient components are affecting the way that your body digests, and then also understanding how the insulin is working in your body, the timing of the insulin, how your insulin sensitivity is then impacting that, and the actions around the actions around your day are impacting that. So I think once you really understand those pieces of the puzzle, it's really easy to piece them together and say, oh, if I want to enjoy my pad thai or I want to enjoy my sushi, I can. It's just a matter of figuring out the strategy and changing the way that I dose, because your dosing strategy is not going to look the same for every single meal. I was taught, count your carbs, take your insulin, and that's kind of it. And I think if I had continued doing that for the past 10 years, I would not be where I want to be in my management. I wouldn't be in this phase where I feel like I can get tighter control for those future goals. And I'd feel a lot less freedom of trying new things, because that in itself, that one piece of advice of count your carb and take your insulin, to me, that's restrictive. I want to know more strategies. I want to get deeper into understanding my body and how it's going to react with different foods so I can change my strategy as I need. And to me, that encourages flexibility and that encourages more freedom with those things. That's number five. Number six, this one, I was looking through my Instagram and just kind of like scrolling through, and I realized like how many different seasons of life I've been in the past few years. Just to name a few, last year I got married and I was helping, you know, I was in other bridal parties. So last year was a big season of weddings and changing my career. And before that, it was engagement and moving, and just there's always going to be this new season of life, and there's always going to be a thing. There's always going to be things happening. I feel like for anything, we always say, especially diabetes, because it's something that we live with for so long. Obviously, it's a chronic illness right now, or chronic condition, whatever you want to call it. And we always say, I'm just going to wait until life calms down to really dive in and learn more about my management. And I don't want to be the one to say it, but in reality, that's never going to happen. In reality, we're always going to be in a new season of life. We are always going to have the busy seasons. Everything's always going to be chaotic. And that's just like how life goes. So if you are waiting for the perfect moment to work on your management, it's just not going to happen. For example, here, if you've listened to other episodes and you know this part of my journey, but I moved home from Miami. I was working a corporate job in Miami right after graduation in the 2018 era. And I moved home. That was after a really bad breakup. It was after being kicked out of my apartment, borderline leaving my job at the time. I did leave my job, but I was working remotely from home. I had all these huge changes, and I was adjusting to living back home with my parents, adjusting to my new social life at home, a new relationship. Everything was so new. I was studying for health coaching. There was so much going on. But yet, that was the time where I really decided to say, this is the time I'm going to start learning more about my body and dive deeper into my diabetes management. Because if I don't, I am sacrificing all of the things that can happen as a result of me feeling more connected to my body in this way. So it wasn't the most ideal time. There's never an ideal time, but if I didn't take that opportunity or I didn't come to that conclusion, life would look very differently than it does now. So I just think starting in the busy seasons will help you the most. It's not to say that you need to stress yourself out or overwhelm yourself to get there. It can be literally starting with one thing at a time. And that's what we really encourage inside of Keep 100, is just for you to take that 1%. What is one thing that I can do today that will make me move the needle forward more tomorrow? That can be opening up my Dexcom report. It can be literally downloading Dexcom Clarity, because I know a lot of people don't have that downloaded on their phone and actually looking at those reports. Maybe it's having a glass of water before I eat my breakfast tomorrow to avoid that post-breakfast spike. It can be going for a walk after dinner. It can be literally we call it your MVC, your minimum viable commitment, but making that MVC, something so small that's still going to help you move the needle forward and learn a little bit more about your body and navigate these trends. So just all to say, there's just truly never a right time to work on your management or to work on your blood sugar journey or your diabetes, your relationship with your diabetes. But the truth is, you need to start somewhere, and so you might as well start now. Okay. Oh, okay. This next one is good. I think this is number 7, somewhere around there. 7, yes. And again, I might get some heat from this because if you join those Facebook groups, I'm sure you've seen do anything at all cost to make sure that your blood sugar is a 5 or a 6 or whatever it is. In my opinion, the A1C doesn't matter if it's consuming your mental health. So what I mean by this, is it worth having a perfect 5.0 A1C if you are fasting in the morning and starving, if it's not something that feels good for you and you're irritable when you start work because you're cranky, because you're hungry, you are eating a low carb diet that you know doesn't work for your routine or doesn't work for your preferences, you're feeling really limited, you're feeling like you can't go out to lunch with your coworkers, you are feeling like you have to have this perfect exercise routine, so you're saying no to the social events because you know that if you are outside of your routine, then your blood sugars are going to spiral. Or there's so many different things that can look like, and at some point that is going to stop feeling healthy and to start feeling like it's affecting your mental health. That's exactly how I felt in 2017 when I was living in Miami. I was trying to do everything perfectly in the name of health, but in reality, it was just really restrictive and really hurting my mental health. I'm not saying that all these things like intermittent fasting or low carb or whatever, or avoiding going out, I'm not saying that those are bad things, but for people that it doesn't work, for people where it doesn't work with your preferences and your lifestyle, it's going to take a toll on your mental health. And that was how it felt for me. So I would rather see that A1C be a little bit higher, but with you welcoming in more flexibility, like going out with your friends, eating the foods you enjoy, doing movement you enjoy, then have your A1C be perfect. And that's our goal inside of Keep 100. I know I bring that up a lot, but like that's the goal of, let's do those things that you enjoy and meet your lifestyle where it's at, and then have your blood sugars correlate with it. Let's have your blood sugars feel more predictable in the process without feeling like we have to force our bodies into this place, again, in the name of health, if it doesn't feel healthy. So I might get some slack for that one, but that's my personal opinion there. Number 8, we're breezing through these. This is great. This one kind of goes back into the habits piece, but those micro moments compile into the big moments. And what I mean by that is that I know that we look at those little decisions throughout the day. Did I pre-bolus, or did I carb count my food, or did I guesstimate? And I'm not saying that we need to do these all perfectly, but the micro moments throughout our day, those are what compile into the big moments. So we need to treat them as such. We need to focus more on the micro moments than I think we do the big moments. I would rather see you working on those tiny habits throughout your day, those tiny consistent behaviors that are leading into these kind of, that have this ripple effect into these other parts of your day and have these ripple effects into these blood sugar outcomes that maybe aren't completely ideal. I'd rather see you work on those tiny little micro moments than work on all the big moments of, oh, I need to tackle this huge thing. Because in reality, if we're not starting with the micro moments, it's not going to ripple effect into the big moments. I hope that made sense. That's just how I see it. Okay, number 9. Again, might get some slack on this. But people on the internet, especially when it comes to type 1 diabetes, they're going to project. And I think for the longest time, I thought that this was a reflection on me and if I was doing something wrong or something I shouldn't be doing. But in reality, a lot of it is a projection. So I want you as a listener right now to tread with caution. So to put this into a little bit more context, in the beginning of my journey, I was a part of a lot of these Facebook groups, type 1 diabetes Facebook groups, and there are these communities where everybody talks about what's going on for them. And if I would post something along the lines of, hey, I had pizza and it didn't work for my blood sugar and I'm really frustrated, I would always get those comments of, well, why were you eating the pizza? Well, of course your blood sugar was high, you ate pizza. Or going back more into now, I'm on the Omnipod 5 and I'm on the Dexcom G7. Currently, they don't integrate at the time of recording this episode. And I always get those comments of, why would you not be on an automated pump? What are you doing? What, like, and without the context of, these aren't my preferences, or my preference is to eat the pizza and figure it out, you're getting a lot of projections from people who may not trust themselves to eat the pizza. They might not have that curiosity mindset yet where they want to learn how to eat the pizza. They might not be trusting their body enough to believe that they can eat the pizza. And I think for so long, again, I felt like this was a reflection of me, of like, I'm doing something wrong. Maybe these people don't know something that I don't know, and I should be taking a different approach. But in reality, a lot of times it's just a projection of how people feel, and maybe a lack of trust that they have in their body, or things that they're not willing to experiment with. For whatever reason, everybody might have their specific reasons. It might be fear-based. It might be for other reasons, and that's completely okay. But I've truly had to learn to take these opinions and take these projections with a grain of salt and just ask myself, come back to center and ask myself, what do I want life with diabetes to look like, and how am I gonna make that happen? I cannot tailor my preferences and my priorities to other people's preferences and priorities, because that's something I'm never going to have work for me. And this might go for you too. You might be listening to this and say, Lissy, it's not in my preferences to eat the pizza. The pizza's not worth the high blood sugar for me. So, and that's completely okay. Some people do make that judgment call of, like, I would rather have my blood sugars be in range so I can enjoy the energy that I have to be in the present moment. And that's okay. That's your preference. That's your, like, that is your preference. And I'm like, so everybody is going to be, have these different priorities, and it's up to you to decide what yours are. And I just want you to know that, like, nobody else's opinion should change the way that you treat your diabetes management, as long as your management is in line with your preferences and priorities and lifestyle, and it works for you. That's something that I'm really passionate about. So if there's anyone to be at the top of my list, that would be it. I tried for so long to fit myself into this box of, I'm a person with diabetes, so I need to do X, Y, and Z. And in reality, that was the least sustainable thing that I ever could have done for myself. And I'm so glad that I took the time to step outside of that box and figure out what I needed to do next to make diabetes work for me. The last one, I'm honestly looking at my list and I don't have anything written down. So I think I just truly want to leave off with that, like, that extra note that diabetes is yours. And kind of like I mentioned in the beginning of the episode, you can either work alongside of diabetes, or diabetes can be in the background. But I truly think that when you learn to live alongside of diabetes and have it as this partner in your life, you are truly going to accelerate in all these other areas. You're going to accelerate in your relationships, your career, your social life, your finances, your, like, literally all of these other areas. So if you're not there yet, it's okay. It takes time. But also, if you are somebody who's thinking, should I take this time and should I make the effort of figuring this thing out? And I'm not saying you're going to crack this code and suddenly diabetes is going to be perfect. I'm just saying taking the time to build that relationship with diabetes and build that relationship with your body is going to pay off so much more in the long run. So if there's anything that I can leave you with, I think it's going to be that. But thank you so much for joining me for this episode. I can't tell you how honored I am to be able to come on a platform like this and share things from the last decade. And I just think we all should be sharing our experiences more in a way that feels comfortable. So thank you so much for letting me share mine. I am truly just so cool to be here. If you like this episode, please, as a diversity gift to me, go ahead and leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast platform that you're listening on. Leave a review. Those things literally mean the world. It means that other people can find this platform. It means that they might be able to connect and resonate and learn from these resources or these episodes. If you do that, I would love for you to send me a screenshot and I will send you a $5 gift card to Starbucks. That's true. Just my favorite. But if you're a Dunkin' person, then maybe we can work something out. All right. Thank you so much, and we'll see you on the next episode.